Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Daddy Mac. I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Hoji, the electric Esmoji, and John Sheeran. And, you know, we have so much to talk about today. I mean, look, the Bengals lost a nail biter to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they looked really good. The rush defense, I think we had them under 3 yards a carry, right? And, we were down to, you know, we had practice a squad players in the secondary. And still, I think the defense, they kind of held its own. We had the Alex Erickson fumble that kind of turned the momentum early. But I want to get your guys' opinion.
Well, I'll go first. I got to go a little bit early. I'm doing a benefit for Save the Snails. I don't know if you've heard of the Save the Snails Foundation, but snails are very affected by all the trauma of the COVID-19 situation. The snails get stressed out. I don't know if you know that about snails, they're sensitive. But let me just talk about the game. So I'll say two things. Number one, I was reading the Twitter and there was a lot of hate for the defense. The defense was understaffed. I thought the defense actually held up okay. I agree with you, Daddy. Yeah. It was the offense that was kind of disappointing. They couldn't get anything going. Now, the whole team was spooked. You remember early on, there was the fumble. There was a lot of weird mistakes. I don't know if it was the wind or if it was fear, the element of fear. Fear is a big factor. The fear factor is what they call it. And I don't know if that's what it was. But I just want to say something about the offense. Something is off. And I was watching the Bears game last night. And I was watching Bill Lazor's his management of that offense. And it reminded me so much of the old days with the Bengals. Failure after failure, especially in the running game. And the Bengals have a similar problem. I don't know if there's something about these two teams that's similar or if it's a coaching thing. But I'm watching us fail with the running game. And then all this pressure on Joe to throw maybe on third down and make it happen on one down, right?
Yeah.
And I was very disappointed in that.
And we were with Joe Mixon. But I know John knows it's all about the trenches, right? It's not so much about the running back there.
I think Samaje Perine had a decent game, actually. He might have been their best offensive player when he got the ball. He only got the ball like 7 times. But of course, that was well after the game was over. I mean, they lost the game because they couldn't throw. Joe Burrow's the story with this. He played terrible. I think this was the worst game that he had against the Ravens, even though we knew that schematically the Steelers were going to attack him with a similar plan of attack like the Ravens did back in Week 5. And I think the offensive line played pretty well, especially considering you had a rookie at left tackle and a career guard at right tackle going against the edges that the Steelers have. And T.J. Watt, well, he had 2 sacks and 4 pressures, but I think a couple of them were on stunts where it's just the lack of communication. For the most part, Quinton Spain held his own against T.J. Watt for most of the game, and then as the game went on, him and Akeem Adeniji at left tackle kind of deteriorated and allowed some pressures in there. But at that point, like, the damage was too far done. The Bengals made too many mistakes to begin the game. They allowed the Steelers to score points off of turnovers. Unfortunately, the offense just never got anything going. Like, Burrow made a lot of mistakes that he doesn't normally make, and you have to wonder if at the end of the first half when he rolled his ankle, if that impacted him, because he threw the ball like 13 or 14 times in the second half. And when I charted him, like 9 of them were like not good throws. They weren't accurate. They weren't any good timing. It was ugly. That's all it was.
John, I want to push back a bit. I want to push back a bit against the narrative that Joe Burrow was at fault for the game. And I'm going to tell you a short story that might explain my thoughts about this. Back in the village, there was a beautiful girl. They called her Baby Feet. The reason they called her Baby Feet is because her skin was supple, like the palms of a baby's feet. And it was also yellowish, like a baby's feet might be. Now, Baby Feet married the ugliest man in the village. He didn't have a name. They just called him the Beast. And the Beast was always telling her how ugly Baby Feet was. And Baby Feet wasn't ugly, but she got it in her head that she was ugly. feels like every time Joe Burrow has a performance and it's the whole, he doesn't save the team and he doesn't save the game, all of a sudden the coaching staff and everybody out there is like, oh, Joe Burrow was at fault. Joe Burrow was at fault. Man, what can this poor guy do? Look at other teams. When they're having an off day, the running game comes in and picks up the slack. When the wind is too crazy, the running game comes and makes its way. But when Joe Burrow can't save the day, when he can't look awesome, which he has throughout the whole season, then all of a sudden he's at fault. Everybody needs to have a bad day. He had a bad day.
Sounds a lot like the defense Andy Dalton from a few years ago.
John, okay, hold on. John, so let's be clear. Let's be clear. John, me, and Hoji all love Joe Burrow. We're on the same page. Yeah. And we know he's going to be great. So, yeah. John, when you see these clips of people criticizing his arm on those outside the numbers, they're like, he can't make those tough throws, right? You and I know that that is not going to limit his success. This was a bad game more than a statement about his arm ability, right?
Sure, that's fine. Like, the wind was obviously chaotic throughout the game, and I think his ankle just was bothering him in the second half, and that's where we saw the majority of those bad throws. But if he's credited for a lot of the success that they've had, or at least keeping him in the game, it's not a surprise that when he plays bad, the entire team plays bad. Like, it might be unfair to put all that pressure on the rookie, but that's the state of the NFL. If you can't throw the ball and you can't run the ball with any success, you're just not going to have you can't overcome the mistakes that the rest of your team makes. This was a terrible game for the special teams department. They had Erickson fumble. You had Brandon Wilson fumble the opening kickoff. You gave the Steelers opportunities, short fields, numerous amount of times. And while the defense, I think, played admirable, you know, they were still going to give up points with that ragtag team in the secondary. So it was up to Joe Burrow to kind of keep up with this. And unfortunately, the circumstances wouldn't allow it. He had a bad game. I think we just need to accept that.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just say this. My electric limo is here. I got to go. I'm getting to the benefit. I love you guys. I just want to say one thing and Hoji out, which is the performance of the defense in spite of the sicknesses and in spite of the short roster and the performance of the offensive line, even though I've been trashing Jim Turner this whole year and knowing that Joe Burrow is going to be back and he's going to be angry with a vengeance. I see good things coming up for the end of the season. I don't think we'll have the number seven draft pick as we currently do. I think we're going to be winning. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. John, so let me ask you this. About the defense, right? I mean, did they have a good game? Let's say the rush defense. I mean, because the pass defense, we had zero expectations. We had zero expectations for the pass defense because of the secondary. And our pass rush is non-existent outside Carl Lawson, basically, right?
Yeah, I think they played very well. They did a great job of getting to the edges on some of those reverses. Like, they had one reverse to Chase Claypool that got out of hand and got like 20 yards. But I think anytime the Steelers kind of threatened the edge, whether it was William Jackson or Josh Bynes or Jermaine Pryor, they did a great job of scraping over the top and forcing plays back inside. I think the run defense played pretty well. Fortunately, this wasn't the strength of the Steelers the entire season. They haven't had a lot of success running the ball with James Conner. And I think they had Anthony McFarland out with an illness, so they couldn't really turn to him either. So it was up to Ben to kind of carry that offense. And Ben was a bit shaky in the first half too, but he kind of does what he does and kind of turns it on and makes some wacky throws that end up being completed towards the second half. And unfortunately, it just got away from them. Like, William Jackson had like one or two bad reps, but that's what we remember from the game because he got burned down the sideline early in the game. Tony Brown had a crucial missed tackle on Deontay Johnson, which was a touchdown. Jalen Davis, bless his heart, the practice squad cornerback that had to play because Mackenzie Alexander suffered a concussion. You know, he did pretty well in run defense, but he got exposed in coverage a couple of times, and so did Von Bell. So it was just death by a lot of paper cuts, and that's kind of the theme with a lot of these Steelers games, where it's just a lot of short underneath throws over the middle, and they have some great yards with the catch opportunities, and then Ben just pops off with one or two deep bombs that kind of open up the rest of the offense. And unfortunately, the Steelers scored 36 points in this game, and I think we knew that the Bengals were going to have to score points with how beat up their defense was and the fact that they couldn't rush the passer at all. So that's just kind of how it happened. And I think going into this game too, like, Sam Hubbard, it was his first game back, and he talked about like the Bengals knowing that Ben gets the ball out quickly, and like they knew that they were going to have to, you know, basically drop back into passing lanes and kind of bat balls down. We kind of saw that from Hubbard as well. He was like showing blitz, and then he was just staying on the line of scrimmage and trying to get his hands up. So I think they recognized that they weren't going to have a lot of pass rush and still try to combat it, and it just didn't end up being enough because with that plan, you still need a healthy and quality secondary, and they just didn't have that.
Yeah. So John, okay. So the pass rush is hopeless this year is basically, I mean, we have to rebuild through free agency or the draft or something, right? I mean,
well, I would assume that a lot of us thought that they were going to have Carlos Dunlap for the entire year, that Dunlap was going to be decent. And that's obviously not been the case. I think Hubbard has always been a solid number three or number four option. I don't think he's ever going to be that perennial 10 sack a year guy. And Lawson might not be that either, but he's at least a guy that's forcing consistent pressure. Unfortunately, when you don't have Geno Atkins in the middle, even when he's on the field, he's not really doing much. You have no interior presence. You have next to nothing from Sam Hubbard, and then all you have is Lawson. It's easier to scheme up a good pass rush than it is to scheme up good coverage. You need more talent in the secondary to have success. That being said, though, they just have next to nothing at the defensive line, so it's even hard to scheme up a pass rush with what they have right now.
And so, I mean, meanwhile, we have AJ Green again, not a non-factor, 5 targets. 0 catches. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we just, is this it? I mean, are we just, is this the end, do you think? I mean, have you seen?
Well, you've been the proponent of AJ like this entire season. And I think he showed us that he still has something left in the juice, at least before this game. It was just, this seemed to fit more of what we've seen from him this year, whereas he's still being used in the ways of old, and they just might not be ready to, I guess, fully transition into a lesser, more minor role in this offense, because they needed him to do something, because they needed anything from the receivers other than T. Higgins. It was a fantastic game from the Steelers of deploying a coverage that took away a lot of what the Bengals like to do, a lot of these in-breaking routes over the middle. They played the cornerbacks with a lot of inside leverage, and they also had two deep safeties to kind of force Burrow to attack the middle of the field deep, which is where he's had the least amount of success in his career. It's going back to LSU days. So I think the Steelers came out of the gate with a great plan on defense, and they forced their receivers to win in ways that they're not really used to winning. And, you know, you had Tyler Boyd having some marginal success on a few plays, but they needed a classic vintage game from AJ Green, and that's just hard to do against a defense that kind of knows what they're doing and knows how to take away what the Bengals can normally have success with.
Yeah. Okay, John. Okay, I want to take it a little bit less analytical, and let's just talk about emotions here, because it's the same old thing with the Steelers. It's the same old thing. They bully us. Look, we have not lost a game by this much. I know the Steelers have the best record in the league, right? But they're not like that. I don't know. I don't think they're that great of a team, personally. I think they're just like they've been there before. They know how to win. They know how to cheat. They know how to hold. But they also, I mean, they're a balanced roster. You know what I mean? They have a balanced team. They don't have like a historic offense, or they don't have a historic defense. But when it comes to us, it's just like, yeah, we have no chance, right? I mean, look, the Cowboys are not a good roster, and they went toe for toe, right? And that's why I mentioned AJ Green. He's been around for a long time, and it's, again, it's like AJ Green is in the Ravens' heads, but when it comes to the Steelers, it's like these old guys, like Zach Taylor, it doesn't matter who the coach is, right? We just kind of fall apart.
Right, basically. The Steelers look at the Bengals, and they think it's a joke. Like, people call this a rivalry, and it probably isn't anymore. There hasn't been a change in the win column for the Bengals since 2015 in this matchup. The Steelers look at the Bengals, and they don't think of them as a legitimate competition. Like, I think the Steelers recognize that the Ravens are their only true rivals in the division, and who could blame them? Like, Steven Nelson called Joe Burrow trash, the cornerback for the Steelers, and Burrow played like trash against them. So, I mean, who can tell Steven Nelson that isn't true if that's the one time he's seen Joe Burrow play? Like, it's the same mentality. And you would think that with the roster that hasn't been around for that long in this team, you come in with like a refreshed mindset. Like, you don't care about the history of this team, but like, this is still just a stigma that just pains on their minds every time that they play this team. They come out consistently unprepared and just lackluster out of the gate. And whatever they can try to formulate out of that, it's never going to be enough. Like, we saw some slight offensive success in the second quarter. They had a touchdown to T. Higgins, and the Steelers came back with a touchdown of their own. And then they had a chance to drive down the field, and they just got in their own way again. They had a holding penalty on Alex Redmond, and then Joe Burrow missed an easy throw on second down, and then he got sacked on third down. And then it seemed from that point on, it was just, there was just no chance. Consistently, time after time, the Bengals continued to make mistakes that plagued their own. And then compounding on that, you have questionable calls from the refs that seem to have a big impact on the game. But at the end of the day, the Bengals are just never, ever the better team in this matchup. If they ever get close, it's usually just the Steelers underperforming.
And, you know, and yeah, and the thing is, John, for me, it's kind of like, if we can beat the Steelers, then we can make that next step and win the primetime games and win the playoff games. It's something about those games that are bigger than the other games. And the Steelers games are like primetime playoff games. So I don't know if it's a franchise cultural thing, or like you said, I think the Steelers, they just like lick their chops when they see us. They're like, we got these guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, they hit. Yeah, they hit us in the mouth and we don't hit back. And I'm not going to say Zach Taylor is the problem, but he's not the solution. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you need a coach who has an attitude about him. Like Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, you can tell he's got attitude. His players got attitude. Their fans got attitude. So either you got to get a coach like that, or we, no matter how good we are, we're going to have at least one loss to the Steelers every year, you know?
It just seems like, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, the Steelers go into this game and it's just another game. The Bengals go into this and it's like their biannual Super Bowl, because they have so much to prove in this matchup to everyone else in the league, because they just continue to fail. And that's not going to change until you just be the better team. And they're just not at this point. No matter how overrated the Steelers may be at 9-0, if they aren't as true to that record, they're still miles better than the Bengals, at least handling their own business. Like, the Bengals have only had one win against a quality team in the last 2 years. I don't think we can push that to the side. Like, they just weren't ready to compete in this game. And if they were, it would have taken an immense amount of luck and underperforming from the Steelers on that part. So unfortunately, like, it wasn't too unpredictable because of just how great the Steelers are in defense and how banged up the Bengals were on defense, but you just would have liked to see a better effort.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Bengals are not the best team, but we are the best podcast. We're the number one Bengals podcast. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all the other things where you listen. I don't know what they're called. And so you can subscribe and you can leave a 5-star review. And we're going to, of course, have guests as always. We're going to have people from other fan bases, other podcast hosts. And John, of course, you can find his stuff on Cincy Jungle. He has his own podcast. He has his own everything. He has YouTube, everything. And also make sure to read John's articles on Cincy Jungle. That is all we have for this show. We will see you next time. So long, CT. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.